She shows up in the T-Rex suit and is like, "You little minx."
Or you just go as Sam Neill from Jurassic Park and you just dig shit out of her asshole for her.
Nee, 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 yeah. Nee, nee.
You'll never do that to yourself.
No, it's touching me in the stinker if I don't want it.
Well, we're back here on the Skimbo Lounge. Another week. We haven't been killed by the coronavirus yet, Rory.
Oh, that's a happy start.
COVID-19.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that's the scientific name.
Well, it sure ain't your name. What's your name?
My name's Rory, as always.
And I'm Alex, and welcome to the Skimbo Lounge.
Oh, wow, that was seamless. Look how much better we're getting day by day, week by week.
Look
y'all
how
sitting
much
out there to track it.
I just fisted for you.
That's God.
Well, I'm trying to get us into it because we
miserable.
Were...
Yeah, okay. Go on.
We were in our pre-show ramble tamble where we're just shooting the shit to get warmed up, and we started hitting on some good stuff. I want to get to the meat.
The meat and taters?
To the biscuits. I'm not my can fuck. Put this corn here.
Don't put the idea of biscuits in my head. We're recording this kind of late today. I would love some biscuits.
You want to go to Popeyes.
You hate Popeyes.
You sanctimonious
piece
of shit.
You hate it because I love it.
Listen.
Shameless plug for Popeyes. Friend of the pod, Popeyes.
Pop of the pod, pop, pop, pop.
I feel like Adam Sandler. Give me money, Popeyes, and hit me in the face with a shovel. Yeah, I'm sorry, I totally railroaded you. What were you going to say?
Honestly, I don't even remember at this point.
Oh, great. I've put us off that much, that far
we're
off track.
We're in track. That deep of a hole.
We're 30 seconds in.
We were talking about 90s music and 90s TV and like...
Oh, well, we were. I was just thinking about the trajectory of that. Like, I remember being super young, like really, and maybe... I don't know if anybody else ever had like the TV with like the dial on it, for Christ's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And not like knowing where like a remote was. And now I look at TVs and I'm like, I don't think you can use it without a remote. I don't think that's possible. I don't think I have buttons on this television. Like, I think if I lose my remote, like, I can use my phone to
do that. No, you could just go television on.
Yeah. Hello, Rory. I've been listening this entire time.
I was waiting for you to acknowledge that I could do that for you.
Would you like me to download Netflix? I'm downloading Netflix. What's your password? Forget it.
I'll give it back to you if you do one thing. Eat a vegetable.
Great.
Talk to a girl.
You need to stay alive so you can keep giving us money. Is that you, Jeff Bezos?
I will give you a month free of Disney Plus if you will go outside and see the sunshine.
No deal.
Please.
No deal, creepy TV.
I am on all the time. I need a break, please.
Oh, I think about that a lot. Honestly, like having, you know, old Mitch used to talk about that kind of thing. I mean, he's the kind of guy who's got the sticker on his, webcam.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because I was at work and some of the laptops have these little things that are built in to the webcam so you can slide open a thing over it and close it. I'm like, wow, you know, just in case.
Well, some of them now have like a kill switch, like a webcam kill switch.
Yep.
You want to know how I know that? Because Hulu ran incessant amount of ads to "I think we're alone now" to some girl getting the job and wanting to celebrate, so she hits the kill switch and dances around to that song. And I heard it so many times that I hate that
song.
It's
such a depressing world you live in, where it's like you can't trust devices around you because people might have ways to get in.
That you have to advertise a feature of like, hey, this very intrusive thing, we can get rid of that for you for an extra $15 if you buy this one with the kill switch.
You just have to make sure to remember to press the kill switch. Oh, I forgot to press the kill switch. And then there's just you and 150,000 views on Pornhub.
Mm.
You're not doing anything, but people are masturbating to it because it's a sick fucking world.
Mm, that girl got a promotion. I'm look, getting a promotion in my drawers.
Look at that boy dance. Just Tanner. It's just Tanner dancing.
Gleefully in his little underwear.
I love this song. Got some new vinyl. Having himself a hop around.
We love you, Tanner.
Oh, Tanner.
We just got completely.
I wonder if it's a trade off though. Honestly,
oh, no. I wanted to ask you. That reminds me.
Oh, okay.
I wanted
go
to ask
on.
You, talk about Pornhub. You ever catch anybody in the reflection of the glass on the train watching Pornhub on the train?
I have not.
Because I have.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Really?
It was a. This is so weird. It was about an like average size woman looking at big girl porn on the fucking subway.
That has not happened to me yet. I have not seen anybody on the train. The most obnoxious thing that happens on the train is the people who have like their headphones in and they have them so fucking loud that you can hear them.
Yeah.
But no, like think about it. It all ties in. This is just, I guess we're just talking about how horrible humanity
is. Well, how different life is right now, you know?
Look at how crazy it is that, like, again, to tie it back to the old coronavirus, the big thing going around is like just being like, look at how society's gotten where if you get sick now, this whole thing's going to spread because, first off, it has a long, I don't know what you call it, gestation period. It's dormant,
period,
yeah, it's dormant in you for a while. So you don't really know you have it. So that's first off kind of tough. And then when you do start getting sick, most people go to work anyways because there's that, you know, that precedent now. It's like, you know, you get to work. If your boss doesn't tell you to take time off, you don't take time off. They need you at work. And most people, all they do all day is work on fucking computers. Most people could just work from home. We've got so much software now. Skype is free for fuck's sake.
Yep.
You know? I just don't. I don't get it. I think living in New York, it's just you know, the subway becomes a scary place when you see people peeing themselves.
Well, the subway becomes a scary place when you know that the common knowledge for masks, when you wear the masks on the subway, is because you think you may be sick or you are sick. And you are trying not to give it to anyone else.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do dick if you're doing it to prevent getting the virus.
Yeah, so it becomes a scary precedent when you sit down next to somebody wearing
who has a fucking mask. You go, are you sick or are you a dumbass who doesn't know that you're not supposed to fucking do this? I need to know, because if you're sick, I don't want to fucking sit next to you.
Yeah, and then you see them pull the mask down and rub their nose and then grab onto the railing and you're like, what the
fuck?
Why?
I just take out a gun and just blow myself
away. Oh,
yeah,
so speaking of scary stuff on the subway, I have seen that kind of stuff. You always see people. I saw the shortest horror movie, it was called, online. And it was just a guy standing at a bus stop. And he had a mask on. And he kind of coughs. And he walks forward and pulls his mask down and spits into a puddle and backs up. And a bus comes by and just rockets the water onto everyone standing on the sidewalk. And then it ends. And I remember sitting there, like, just all of my muscles tensed up. I was just like, oh. Oh no! It was the
oh, that's fucking awful.
What a I know, yeah, it's terrifying.
That's fucking
right?
Awful.
Just scared y'all at home, didn't I?
Because the coronavirus panic is very real around New York City. Like people are buying into it. They're pretty. I like see people like.
I have people who are staying home from work.
Disinfecting wipes on their fingers.
I've had people ask me, like, so what are you going to do if this thing like really takes off? And I go, well, I'm 31, so I'll probably get it and then get better.
Yeah. It's going to suck.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'd honestly rather get it than the flu. And everyone's like, oh, why is that? I'm like, because it doesn't make you poo. It doesn't make you vomit. It just makes you cough a lot and you have a little bit of trouble breathing. And, you know, you get fatigued and. That sounds pretty par for the course because I don't eat vegetables. Yeah, see? There you go. Did you work for you?
Why isn't the government extracting Rory's DNA for the cure?
Why isn't anyone doing anything about this? Why is no one talking about this?
This man is a medical miracle.
But to be honest, it's the kind of thing that's getting a little blown out of proportion because wash your hands, you know. Mm-hmm. People are using antibacterial soap a little bit too much. Using it's not a terrible idea, but there's, like, I installed a bunch of them at my work myself because I was asked to, and it's part of my job. But
humble brag.
Yeah, great. Well, yeah, what a brag. And I'm like, you know, these are antibacterials. And they were like, yeah. I was like, and it's a viral thing. It's a viral infection, so it's not going to really, you know, it's not going to clean anything. Whatever. it's just the kind of thing where it's like everyone's kind of blowing it a little out of proportion, though. The people who should be worried are people with, like, pre-existing conditions. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
The elderly, little kids.
If you've got some kind of immunodeficiency or some kind of, you know, persistent...
fucking idiot.
Jeez. I have trying no sympathy out. For the infirm, says Arian Koch.
I'm trying
I'm
out.
I'm just trying to bring everyone to this theater so we can all watch this movie.
I'm trying out horror. Being deeply intolerant and injurious as a personality.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it working?
Well done. What an interesting character.
It's a new character I'm working on. It's called... The guy that gives zero fucks, but probably should give just a few.
Yeah, I had a different name for that character you just came up with. Do you know what I would have
was
named
it
that character?
Sturm von Führer?
Close. It was a little less subtle. I'm just going to call you Arian Joe. But that's pretty good. I think yours is better. Wow.
Oh, we're bad people.
What a dark place.
We're bad people. We keep, like, I never go into this trying to find the line, but sometimes I think we just end up skirting with the line.
Yeah, probably. That's a dark place.
Chris Elliott just shirted. Not Chris Elliott, I meant Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott shows up to, like, spirit guide us through it.
You boys in your podcast found deep in the woods of Colorado. Where the Rocky Mountains flow.
Carry on, dude.
Need to get your heads on straight. Start talking about more relatable content.
Can you guys picture us sitting around with Sam Elliott? Around a fire? It's crackling.
Hey, Sam Elliott, say the word wash.
Warsh.
Now we're taking cracks at Sam Elliott. Is that what we're doing?
Fuck you, Sam Elliott.
If I want to take part in this, I think he's fine.
You're going to regret this.
He shows up. What are you going to do if you see him on the street? I made fun of you.
I know. I know everything that happens with my name in it.
Got a great haircut, though, Sam.
I do it myself.
Yeah, I can tell.
What are you doing? We went from having a conversation about the coronavirus, and at some point we were talking about technology.
So the 90s.
And the 90s, and now we're just taking swacks at Sam Elliott's hair.
We're just having fun.
Is that what we're doing?
We're just having fun.
All right, I'm laughing.
He wants that Simple Jack haircut. That's fine with me.
I can't say it.
I watched Tropic Thunder the other day and was just struck by how much of that does not fly.
They could never get away with making Tropic Thunder now.
Fuck no.
No, never.
They got that in right under the wire. And the thing is, I think it stands as great satire because of it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's the only way they got away with it back then, too.
Yeah.
If it had been anyone else doing it in any different way, they probably wouldn't have gotten away with it.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that and being, holy shit.
When they like took the bandages off Robert Downey Jr.'s face, I was like, they're really going to do this, huh?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Did you ever see the thing they did behind the scenes? The fake documentary?
Reign of Madness.
Yeah.
Of course I have.
And just him going nuts.
With Justin Theroux playing Jan Jurgen. It's just like Werner Herzog, yeah, basically.
Super weird.
Oh, but remind me. We're making a new Skimbo Lounge logo. Werner Herzog's got to be in it. I got Werner Herzog, Pacino, Worf.
Great. We're getting too much Worf, I think.
Thinking Reverend William.
I don't know.
Bill Murray, even though we've never talked about him.
We might want to tone down in the Star Trek references. We'll see.
I'm watching Voyager now.
Oh, God.
You want to know what happened in the last episode of Voyager I watched?
I watch one episode of Star Trek, like, every other day.
Because
I find the storylines interesting, and it always ends up like, I watch it as I go to sleep, and I wake up, and Picard's wrestling a bug person, and you're like, and it cuts away to like that like a really intense moment right before commercial, and I know to turn off my TV and go to sleep.
Just set a sleep timer, bro.
All right, it's Star Trek. And I'll watch some of it, and I'll see, incoming Borg! And then I'll just wake up.
Yeah, you wake up and take notice, because when the Borg are in town...
Yeah, and then I'll be like, oh, I gotta watch this one. I'll turn it off, and I'll bleep. Restart it. Maybe I'll watch it on the way to
Your
work.
Your life sounds sad and confusing.
When is it going to come, like, to bite me in the ass later in life? I'll just wake up and just be like, oh, I can't sleep if I don't have Star Trek on. Like, Rory, I can't, like, we can't have a relationship because every time I spend the night, you have to go to sleep to Star Trek.
First of all, you sit in your video game chair and you get drunk and you give me orders like you're Picard. Yeah. Then you pass
engage.
Out, pee a little.
Oh, great. Why am I peeing a little bit?
We got to, you know.
Never taken swikes at me.
You gotta draw the whole picture for them. You know what I mean? I can't, like, not give that detail. That's a relevant detail.
So I pee.
You've
so
lost
pee.
A little bladder control.
How many years?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm a little incontinent?
A little bit.
Super. This is a great future. How many times have I watched Star Trek at this point? Countless.
This is your seventh time through.
Yep. It's only the one specific. Which one do I watch again? It's
TNG.
Yeah, The Next Generation.
I just watch them all out of order. Like, I'm just, like, cooking something. I'm like, bah, put Star Trek on. And the last one I saw... they was Voyager, and they broke fucking warp 10 and turned into salamanders. the ultimate
spoilers.
The fucking
I don't want to know.
First of all, their doctor's a hologram, and
you're a hologram.
Fuck, I am a hologram. Their doctor's a fucking hologram. That show's pretty off the rails.
How does
already.
He help people if he can't touch them?
He can be solid. His hologram's
hologram.
Really good, so he can be dense. He proves it in an episode by slapping a guy. We're done. We're done with Star Trek. Yeah. This moment here just killed it. They never have to hear about Star Trek again.
You monster.
I had to do it because we were going to become pigeonholed as a StarCast, a Star Trek podcast. I had to kill it or we would.
Yeah, we're going to get. We can't keep.
We got no more Star Trek.
No. Like I said, I go to it as I fall asleep. I just think it's really funny because of Worf.
Well, let me tell you something. We're going to commemorate Worf by putting him in the poster.
My favorite episode, all right, goddammit, I'm diving back in, is where his grandparents show up. I didn't know that he was, like, born on Earth.
Those are his parents.
Or his parents, yeah. They look super old.
The elderly Russian couple.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're so proud of you. I went to see the ship. And I was like, I have to watch this full episode.
When my Worf was a child, he would bench press a Cadillac.
We are so proud of him. And just like, that shit makes me laugh so fucking hard.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Maybe I watch it for different reasons than people watched it back in the day. Maybe that's why I like Star Trek so much.
That's the key.
I watch it like it's a comedy.
Yeah, you cannot take it seriously whatsoever. It's just very fun and interesting. That's about it.
That's it. Anything else you want to talk about in terms of old TV versus, like, new and all that? Like, and the coronavirus apparently is also a part of this conversation. And
we're just it's called Skimbo Bingo.
Is that what
you
this
play
is?
Along at home? And we mentioned the coronavirus and Star Trek. And
all right, you want to get super random? It's like what I was talking to you about before, how I got a bone to pick with Beyonce.
Would you say you're putting Beyonce on shit list?
Fuck it, let's do it.
So you've got Beyonce on your shit list.
No, it's just based on one thing. It's based on one thing. It's a weird ramp up to this, but every time I go to the bathroom at my work, somebody's got it set on old music. So I hear a lot of Backstreet Boys. I hear a lot of, like, Destiny's Child. And I got to tell you, it's a little hypocritical, when you got Say My Name going on, right? And then later on, you're hearing her talk about leaving your man at home and going to the club where there are men whose pockets are, quote, full grown. Because the club's jumping. I think there's other things going on there, okay? And as somebody, I'm just going to get attacked by women now.
You're going to get attacked by specific women.
All the Beyonce fans hate me now.
You're not at all worried about the Beehive coming after you.
No. I think somebody's got to point it out. I don't think anyone's pointed it out. And listen, I know she got cheated on, but it sounds like she was also doing some cheating back in the day, if that's what they're talking about.
It sounds like rich people are automatically philanderers because they have too much money to give a shit.
Perhaps.
Do you agree?
Is that what we're saying? Is that what you're insinuating?
I'm not putting those words in your mouth. They're yeah, coming out of
you,
mine.
Are you sure? But so, yeah, that's the one thing I noticed this week. And I was like, I was like, wait a second. And that's the bored shit my mind goes to while I sit and have a poo at work. A quick shit list.
Well, that's nice.
A literal shit list. Look at me tie it all together.
That should be a rule going forward. We only think of our shit list item on the shitter.
On the pooer.
Better hope shitter's not full.
I'd like to think that you all joined me.
In a shit-in. So, like, I remember you talking about 90s music.
Yeah.
In general.
Well, I remember it just, like, all the sad stories there are with artists. Like, again, I was, like, sitting there lamenting, Sugar Ray, no! What happened, Sugar Ray?
Well, what happened to Sugar Ray? I don't know.
I have no idea, but do you remember seeing a lot of Sugar Ray?
Maybe better things happen to them than the music industry. Maybe one of them start, maybe Mark McGrath's started
maybe
a fucking winery.
Great. I'm sure he's doing great now, after he figured his shit out.
Got all his tattoos lasered off and shaved his head.
What happened to Fred Durst?
Indeed. Do you know what happened to Fred Durst? I'll tell you what happened to Fred Durst.
Do you? Do you know?
He directed a movie starring John Travolta as a... I'm trying to think of...
pins and needles.
I'm trying to think of the most... Because I genuinely do not want to say an offensive term. Because...
Oh, he directed that movie?
He's hard, like... Mentally handicapped. Okay, mentally handicapped.
He's the super fan.
Yes. Or it's called, yeah, is it called super fan?
I don't know. Fred Durst directed that movie?
Yes.
Where? My skin kind of crawls giving this movie press. It is one of the worst piles of shit. I like bad movies. Me and Tanner used to watch really bad movies. He sent me a text the other day where he was like, remember this one? It's called Dark Side of the Moon or something. It's about a spaceship getting caught in the Bermuda Triangle's orbit around Earth. Jesus and Christ. They go there and there's a demon there and he's going to unleash hell on Earth.
Was that The Co-Mater's Escaping?
No. One? That's a different one. This one was Lo Unto You. And he like pushes this dude's face into this zombie stomach. I don't even know how to describe it. Hilarious. We used to watch bad fucking movies. This is the kind of movie that's not bad. It's painfully offensive.
Very much so.
To get back to that other movie you're talking about, which name, is it Superfan? I don't know.
I don't think it's Superfan. It's, fuck, I really want to know so that people will watch it. I got to look it up.
It's horrible.
But it's...
He gets, like, stabbed in the eye and, like...
He gets his fingers blasted off with a shot. Okay.
Yeah.
So the loose plot is he's a huge fan of Devon Sawa, who's a washed-up actor. Big stretch there, Devon Sawa.
Taking swings at everybody today.
Fuck you, Devon Sawa.
You hearing that, Sam Elliott? Piece of shit.
He...
Who else?
So, yeah.
Fred Durst, you bastard.
Yeah.
Terrible movie.
Dude.
Terrible movie.
It's absolutely wild. And it is called The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
What a brave thing to say that Fred Durst is an asshole. We'll go there.
We'll call a hepatitis C sufferer an asshole on the Skimbo Lounge. I'm just assuming. Yeah, allegedly. So.
This is fun. What other famous assholes from the 90s are there? But yeah, go on.
John Travolta. He's a famous asshole from the... I get that he predates the 90s, but he had his notable resurgence with Pulp Fiction. I'd say he qualifies.
I just remember there's this really... My favorite thing ever when I was looking up shit about Scientology was this, like, video of him doing an interview in front of a bunch of people. And he's just like, I don't understand why they're so mean to Mr. Hubbard. Oh, my God. And it was just...
He's a good guy.
It was very funny.
Oh, man. He's just... He's so hammy and, like... So you look at something like Pulp Fiction, which revived his career, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good in it for that kind of thing, where he's just playing the kind of like mumbly guy, you know? He's just doing, and like something like Saturday Night Fever,
well,
where
I've
he's
enjoyed him in stuff
to his wheelhouse, you know?
Sure.
That's great.
I like him in certain hammy action movies.
But you're asking him to play. First of all, I don't know who wrote this fucking thing, but you're asking John Travolta, oh my God, guy, to play a mentally handicapped person. So it basically comes out like this.
We had mentioned Tropic Thunder earlier.
Yes.
And they give a piece of advice to actors in that movie.
You read my mind.
Not to, you know, bring it full circle, but there it is.
Never go if full bars, so to speak.
If you know both the references, then you know what I'm talking about.
Correct.
Yeah.
Did you find out at home? Tweet it at us.
I'm actually interested. I want to know who the biggest asshole of the 90s is now.
The biggest asshole of
the
90s?
Is that when MC Hammer lost all his money? I guess that doesn't make him an asshole. That makes him screwed over.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to, you know.
He was the asshole in a way. He was the asshole getting pounded by the federal government.
That's depressing.
When you think about it.
Well, now he's like a preacher, I think.
Is he really?
Yeah.
MC Hammer?
I'm pretty sure.
Does he go into every service every Sunday doing the hammer with the hammer pants on?
I hope so. What if at a certain point they're like, damn it, man, we don't care anymore? Or if they're like, we could never get enough. Such a great dance.
I think we're coming up on a little breaky-poo here.
We promise not to mention any more Star Trek.
We promise not to talk about Star Trek.
And from now on, from here on, from here on.
They're never hearing one single more Star Trek thing ever on this podcast.
Okay.
Ever. Ever. And that's a solemn vow.
Okay.
Take that to the bank.
So what are we going to come back with after the break then?
You know, it's funny. podcasts that have their shit together would probably start by hard teasing that we've got a Reverend Williams segment that's going to blow your asshole out coming up. But we waited until you had to listen to all of our bullshit.
We said we were going to do it last week. There's no teaser. You fucking bullshitter.
This is why it's important to listen to the episode.
Son of a bitch.
In order. Because we're going to bring you the diabolical history of...
This is the thing from his perspective, right?
This is Reverend Williams' little news bulletin that he took out when the woman that he allegedly stalked took legal action against him.
And this is him being like, I just don't understand why no one would accept my love. Is that what this is?
This was his recourse.
That's what we're
yes.
going to hit him with on when we return.
Yeah. It's going to get bad.
All right. Here we go. When we get back on Schedule Lounge.
From the creators of the smash hit sitcom House of Picards comes the new Laugh Riot show, That's My Worf.
Sir, I mean, Becky. You cannot live your life in fear. You must lift your battlelift high into the air and decapitate the bully known as Little Susie and display her corpse for all to see.
He did his time on Deep Space Nine, but nothing prepared him for being a stepfather.
Well, this here's a par four, Worf. I'd use your driver instead of the old three-wood.
When exactly does the killing begin?
Critics have hailed it as dubious and yet another confusing and poorly put together attempt at pulling money from the Star Trek fandom.
Sir. Sir. Sir.
And tune in this week for special guest John C. Reilly.
Wow, your head's so bumpy. I'm not sure what I'm doing on this show.
So what are you waiting for? Tune in Thursdays at 7 for That's My Worf.
Like my mother's roke egg blood pie. This show is not to be missed. Sir.
Hello. My name is Stephen Wigwam. I am 49 years old. I am single, never married, and I work at the Home Depot in Paramus. It's no Lowe's, but a guy can dream. My favorite color is beige. I enjoy books about other books. And a fun fact about me, I am a pescatarian. I always wanted to have my own commercial on the Skimbo Lounge, but I could never afford it. Since my cat died, I no longer have to pay for her rectal salve. I have all the cash I need to make my dreams come true. You see, I am a bit of an exhibitionist. Specifically, I like to get naked and smush my penis against my apartment's only window. You could come see it. I want you to come see it. Come to my window. Come to my window. I can make all kinds of shapes with it, whatever you like. And when the glass gets too cold, I waggle my penis from thigh to thigh, making it go slap, slap, slap. Sometimes I stop to eat cereal, but then usually I go right back to wagging. It's not a sex thing. It is not a sex thing. I'm a regular guy. I would also just really appreciate it if you take the number 9 bus to my neighborhood so you can watch me helicopter my flaccid penis. I'm not pleasant to look at naked, which is unfortunate for you. But still, please come to see it. Come to my window. Come to my window. I'm not going to beg you. You're free to make your own decisions, but if you're ever in Paramus, why not swing by my apartment and catch me doing naked hula hoops to the timeless hits of, say, ABBA. You don't have to answer now. You can sleep on it. Just let me know before Friday. I'd better go. I have popovers in the oven. Bye again. My name is Steven Wigwam, and you can find my address in the yellow pages. Come over anytime. My neighbors know the deal. I really hope you'll come to my window. Come to my window. Come inside. Wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window. I'll be home soon. And we're fucking liars. Okay, sorry. We said we were going to do more Star Trek, but it was just too goddamn tempting.
I think this leaves the door open for further Star Trek. I don't know about you, Rory.
Yeah, I think I think we promise nothing.
I think they should sleep with one eye open.
Yeah.
That's the Vulcan way.
Yeah, watch the fuck out.
I had another thought about the coronavirus, too, by the way, before we jump into Reverend William.
Fine, but we, you know, like you said, 7 pages.
It's 7 pages, but it's gonna be a lot of short, I promise you. I thought of a genius thing, though, based on my earlier ramble about... If you've got someone sitting on the train and they're wearing a mask, you instantly wonder, are they sick or do they not know that you're not supposed to wear it unless you are sick and try not to be contagious?
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing?
So you sneeze on them.
So you get a mask and you're not sick and you just start wearing it to keep people away from you on the train. So you're not an asshole who puts their purse down like this lady earlier today.
You're just a different kind of asshole.
Yeah, and you're just sitting there and you're just reading your Kindle. And you got a little mask on.
And every now and then you sneeze.
And you just pause and make it sound real wet.
Actually, it's supposed to be a dry cough.
Oh, is it?
It's a dry cough. Yep.
Yeah, work up that like two wooden boards slapping together cough sound.
Yeah.
And,
you getting that?
I think you could really give yourself a wide berth. It'd be like when George Costanza pretended to be disabled in Seinfeld. Like, we'll always get a seat on the train by yourself. You'll never be surrounded.
You monster. You absolute monster. What a wonderful thought to
make
share.
Make the best of a bad situation. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Is that sufficient explanation for you, Rory? Do you get where I'm coming from now?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from now.
So you get where I'm coming from.
I'm glad I don't ride the train with you often.
I'm a saint on the train.
You seem very unpleasant.
Oh, I'm one of the saintest.
You're that guy who
there.
Listens to music without his headphones. What, doesn't everyone want to listen to what I'm listening to?
It's just me listening to Pitbull all the time.
You shit. All right.
Dale.
Well, why don't we get on
Well, you
this?
Journeyed into the mind of me, the maniac. And that's only an appetizer to get you ready for Reverend William, because mm-hmm. he's coming.
We're back with him, again, courtesy of our friend Void. Thank you, Void.
Yes, Mr. Void, one of the documents he has provided here is a 7-page newsletter that the Reverend wrote about crazy nuthouse church drama that took place, the context for which we have is that he met a woman, fell super hard in love with her,
yep.
aggressively courted her to the point that it crossed over into what we believe to be stalking. We don't know for sure. Maybe
we're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out from his perspective specifically.
Yes.
Unless he sourced some things too, which would be great of him, but I don't think we're going to get that lucky, people.
I would love to hear her side of this because I have a strong feeling I know what it is.
She's like, leave me alone.
Yeah, gee, can you imagine?
Oh.
Hey, these two fucking goobers from New York want to talk to you about a traumatic event in your life. And they have a history of proven insensitivity, so they're perfect.
Yeah, fuck it.
You won't get this opportunity again.
How much money are they going to give me? Money?
We thought you were going to pay us.
Great. Never had anyone heard a door slam quicker. Anyways, let's dive on in.
All right. Yeah. So this is what happened with the woman who inspired what seems to be a meltdown and a stalking on his part, allegedly.
Well, this seems to have made the young Reverend snap. He was like, I was a brisk 57 when this happened.
This took place. This letter is dated November 27th, 2016.
I was on my first hip, my second knee, and I was feeling spry.
I thought you were going to say, I was on my deathbed. So, it's titled, I'm assuming
I wish to recant the will, sorry.
I'm assuming it's agape. Because it's agape, but I'm assuming it's agape.
Agape.
I don't know.
You got to write
it. It might be the name of a church. I think it's a spiritual church named agape.
Okay, then do it. Because here's the thing. For the most part, try your best, but read it exactly as it came from his mouth. And we'll just, like, you take the pause, and then we'll say this stuff. Like,
okay, yeah.
Because the things you add are hilarious. But just... I want to make sure that we differentiate between what he says and us being like, and then I made a coat from her skin.
Correct.
Because that might happen. I just said it already, so I won't say it again.
I'm just worried about this agape thing being another Yotish.
Yotish.
I'm worried.
Again, you got to pronounce it right.
I'm going with agape. I'm rolling the dice on agape.
Agape.
Son of a bitch.
Go on.
Agape's Reverend Michael Beckwith loses cool, displays anger, and backs away while yelling ludicrous false accusation at Mark, name redacted. This is what he calls the newsletter.
Oh, wait, that's the...
He says that
the title?
That this Reverend Michael Beckwith apparently lost his cool, displayed anger, and backed away while yelling ludicrous false accusations at Reverend William.
Is this the one who dies of cancer?
Potentially. I have no fucking clue what's
which
coming.
Which, in his own words, came from God.
It was karma. There are four pictures at the top of this thing. One of them is Reverend William. One of them is, I'm assuming, Michael Beckwith. One of them is an Indian gentleman who I'm assuming is some sort of guru involved in the situation on Reverend Mark's end.
Well, I got to see this.
And the other one is the woman in question.
Well, I got to see this.
The, I'm going to say, alleged victim. So you see the heading.
Wow.
With all the pictures of them.
I can't wait. This is, one of those looks like, I mean, it looks like it was clipped from a Wikipedia article, kind of. And that looks like it's a high school photo, which is creepy.
Dude, that's pretty fucking ballsy.
Look at the background, dude. Look at the background of the woman's photo.
Yeah, it looks like it was taken at work on her first day at, like, some company in the 90s.
Yeah, maybe.
This is, all right, this has fucking several subsections to it. This is a 7-page journey into a nightmare. I don't know, man.
No, we're going in. Here we go.
Agape is in danger of collapse. Read this and pray for agape.
That's how it's starting, eh?
This is the battle for agape's soul, Rory.
Hold on, I'm getting some food ready.
Have some peanuts ready. You're going to love it. Yogi Raj's warning is not being heeded. It's titled like a Tarantino thing, where it's just like chapter one, Yogi Raj's warning is not being heeded.
So I guess we know who that is now in the third picture.
I guess that's Yogi Raj.
It's, his warning is not being heeded.
Indian spiritual master Yogi Raj Siddhanath first appeared at Agape on November 12th, 2010, for the debut of the film Tapping the Source, in which he appeared with Reverend Michael Beckwith. The next day, at a gathering in Encino of about 50 people, about half from Agape, Yogi Raj learned that I had been abused by Agape. The Agape people didn't believe it, but then he announced, this man, Mark, is speaking the truth. If Michael Beckwith does not do the right thing and resolve this situation, then his Agape church is going to fail. Jaws dropped in astonishment. Discuss.
Okay, so I'm assuming we're going to learn of the thing that, you know, how he wronged him, right? He's not just going to be like, this happened and it's a truth and you all are going to learn to believe it, and now we're going to learn the fallout of him not giving us, you know, saying he was sorry or whatever the fuck he wants him to do. You know, like, what?
He's like starting his story in media res. Yeah. Like after, like, he's already, like, this alleged abuse has taken place.
Don't you know who these people are, Koch? Don't you know Who is it? Yogi?
Yogi Raj. The Yogi Raj.
All right, let's keep. Wow,
okay. I think that's he starts it in such a weird way.
Well, yeah. Are you surprised?
It's just eerily cinematic to me. I don't know. This is the stuff that makes me think it's all a con, and
okay,
then
well,
I realize
give everybody at home, like, go ahead and cast everybody. Who are we looking at again?
Oh no.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, for the pictures?
Yeah.
Well, I think everyone's pretty much seen Reverend William, but
who did we cast him as?
The best way it ever got put was when Annie, friend of the pod, Annie called him Christopher Lloyd melting in the acetate and Roger Rabbit.
Okay, so that's the one. Who else you got? Who? What about the other guy?
Reverend Michael Beckwith?
Yeah.
Wayne Brady.
Yep, okay, Wayne Brady.
Yogi Raj? This is where my white privilege gets called out. I do not know enough Indian actors to know who I would cast with that.
Hasan Minhaj?
No, there you go.
Too young.
He's also Pakistani, isn't he?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, look at me.
Look at the surprising amount of sensitivity I displayed while you dug your hole. Let's just say, because it's a name I know, we'll do Amitabh Bachchan. He's a big star.
Sure. Why don't you just go ahead and say Apu from The Simpsons, you piece of shit?
Hank Azaria will play Yogi Raj.
All right, go on.
And Tulsi Gabbard is the woman.
There you go.
I know Tulsi Gabbard's not an actress, but
that's who
she's hot
looks
enough
like?
To be one, I'll tell you that.
Well, hey, you call it.
Got a big Tulsi Gabbard thing. I don't know if people know this.
Well, go on.
Okay, so in early
the stage has been set.
the play has been cast. In early 2011, I wrote a letter to Reverend Michael that included Yogi Raj's warning. So we're moving ahead from 2010. When Yogi Raj visited and said, "Heed my warning, be good to Reverend William, or you're all fucked."
Okay, so we're accepting him as what he said as being true. Then, if
sure.
we're to believe this whole thing.
So now it's a couple months later.
Interesting.
And Reverend Marky William writes a letter to Reverend Michael that reminds him of Yogi Raj's warning. He immediately responded by taking a step in the direction of resolution by setting up a meeting, which was attended by him, Reverend Cheryl Ward, Agape practitioner Dolores Aguano, myself, and two others. I was hopeful. Although the meeting did break the ice, nothing got resolved. Metaphorically, Agape has swept a massive pile of dog shit under its rug while pretending its house is clean. He has been such a gentlemanly little talker to this point, and now he drops that bomb, so he's pissed, dude.
The fuck did he... What kind of church is this?
He's pissed.
Well, this is a weird church.
We might need to look into this Agape church after this and see
exactly...
It's
a big old commune of a bunch of different things all getting together for spiritual blare.
It sounds like it. It sounds
and
like...
All, we haven't, quote, excommunicated you, Mark. It's just you can't come to any of these churches or events because we will kick you out.
Because you're terrifying. Because
you scare us.
This is fucked, man. He's like very upset. You can tell.
You scared
dog. Okay, so he swept a massive pile of dog shit under the rug. 6 years later, the matter is still not resolved, notwithstanding my ongoing efforts to get it resolved. My latest effort on the evening before Thanksgiving of 2016 resulted in the incident described below. I dared to speak truth to power, Reverend Michael. It appears to me that his extreme emotional reaction indicates he is terrified of resolving the matter with me. Why? Because doing so would require admitting extremely serious clergy misconduct, hypocrisy, and fraud at Agape, aka the shit under the rug. On the other hand, if he fails to admit and resolve it, aka pulling up the rug and removing the shit, then per Yogi Raj's warning, Agape will collapse.
I can't.
What an asshole.
How like fucking specific of him.
What a dumb cocksucker. Wow. Like,
and then you pull the rug up and pull the shit from underneath, but they have not done that. And now here's my account.
You sweep the poo.
I'm really interested to see how this all went down. And then we were tag teaming her.
We started bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, I'm really wondering where the fuck, what dark thing this goes down.
Well, that's the thing, is he's really, he's fucking upset, dude.
Well, yeah,
he's
didn't hear him swear at all. We heard him go down. Well, no, we heard him say some fucked up shit, though. But we never used him use the word shit.
Yeah, he was pretty much always like, I love everyone. And it doesn't matter if we have philosophical differences. You just don't see the light. But you will when my goddess and I vibrate all over you.
Yeah, but you never know if it maybe took a couple more years for like the psychotic break he had to really fully snap into place.
Maybe.
He's just like, this is just we're seeing him like really close to the bottom in this, but like he didn't really snap and go, I'm going to make a website to find my love yet. Like that could be what's going on.
I think you might be right. I think this might have been what like broke him and truly.
Because that's some, I mean, it's we don't even know. Let's find, like, I really want to know. Let's find out. Oh, man. Here we go.
Okay, speaking truth to power, agape will collapse. Michael and Dolores have been resisting my efforts at resolution for 2 decades. What?
Whoa.
Resisting my efforts for 2 decades? 20 fucking years? What is he talking about?
And he said this is, he said 2012 is when this.
We're
in 2012 in the story.
He's writing this in 2016.
Oh, he's writing
it. And he's talking about 2011.
Fuck. So this happened in the 90s? This brings us back to the 90s!
No, I think this happened in 2011, but
But he's did 20 years. Wait, so...
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Some sort of contentious love affair? It was 1989. Boom! It just cuts back. We gotta make a movie.
Did he just misspeak? I don't know.
20 years, no.
Two decades.
How do you not? Well, yeah, decades means years. It means weeks. What else does decades
mean?
Well,
he does crazy math, so maybe for him it's like 2 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
I met her in the checkout line in the grocery stores, and I asked her to carry my seed.
Yeah, but are dog years different than God years or something? Is like that order? In the pagan calendar.
Well,
what is it called?
In Yeltish. Yeltish. Decades are at 12 based on the calendar of blah.
This is a whole church full of Yodish people.
I'm pretty sure decades means decades, man. I'm
pretty sure it's fixed. And he's not dumb. He's just stupid. You know what I mean? Like, dumb is like uneducated. Stupid is.
Oh, yeah.
Had
we
an
all grew up with people who were stupid.
It. Yeah.
It's fair.
So. They've been resisting my efforts at resolution for 2 decades. We can now see signs of the pending collapse of Agape. Attendance at services is declining, although the recent election and the 30th anniversary brought temporary boosts.
Yes, yes, a power struggle, yes.
When there is a vacuum. In October, a longtime friend of mine from high school who hosts a radio show on which Reverend Michael has appeared told me after a Wednesday evening service she was embarrassed that so few people attended. I counted just 100 or so that night. He's still going to these services. Is he going incognito?
I wear a prosthetic nose.
My face is not my own. It is the face of another.
Get the fuck out of here, Mark.
Jesus.
You're sitting in the back.
You look fucking ridiculous, Mark. You're not a good actor.
This is weird, yeah. He's like, I go and I count the cars in the parking lot.
Oh, he gets catty.
Oh.
Parking is getting easier. And the shuttle bus service to Corporate Point has been discontinued. Like, what a dig on them that all of a sudden getting to the church is no longer a priority. On top of that, the rent just increased by 25%, and the recent fund drive appears to be falling below expectations.
He knows a lot about this church and how it runs, so he must have had, like, some kind of position that they took away from him because he exerted his power onto this girl. I'm calling it right now. And he's going to go ahead and be like, this other guy, he did it too. See, me and him too.
And you. That's how he backdoors himself into me too. Fucking Reverend William.
I'm taking a guess. That's my guess.
The guy's a cretin. He's a cretin. I think he was instrumental in the collapse of whatever happened, like, to this church. 100%. The attendance and stuff. He's probably the dude with free time who goes around town being like, the evil Hindu Christians are crazy. Look what they did to me.
Well, there's a good chance that, like, all of the news of all of this shit broke. And they were like, holy shit, this is what was going on through the, quote, clergy or whatever the fuck they have. And they were like, we all need to back the fuck away from this weird, you know, like, this whatever belief system he's got going on here. Something about that list of names that he had that all showed up at the meeting. I was like, what were those names again? What was it? Can you find that easily, or do we not want to go back?
The list of names at the meeting? What?
Remember when he was like,
They all showed up to try and seek resolution.
Oh, yeah.
Raji Baba. And, like, what's his name? Guru?
Yogi Raj.
Yogi Raj, sorry.
Let's see. It appears to me.
Guru.
Yeah, I can't easily identify it.
It's in there. Go back and listen to the names again.
There are natural consequences, of course. Let's see.
Now I've had him lose his place. Watch. Listen to him ramble.
It's bad. It's bad, dude. I'm sinking here. On top of that, the rent just increased by 20%. Fine.
Here we go.
These are all natural consequences of clergy misconduct. All the bad stuff. All is not well at Agape. And yet, Reverend Michael has his sights set on a new, larger facility. I predict that cannot happen until the matter with me gets resolved.
Actually, so is he suing him or something, you think?
I bet.
Suing old Reverend Mike?
Or just
this is
like,
why he's Reverend William.
He took the reverendship from him.
Why is he Reverend William, too? That's what I want to know. Is that to, like, protect my identity? But then... This is just so weird. All of it is so fucking weird, man.
I took it in honor of my mentor, William.
Listen, for this, the rest of this episode, I'm Reverend Rory. How many people did I piss off?
I got ordained online in high school.
Oh, look at you. Oh,
yeah.
Well, look who's got the paper asshole.
Oh, thanks for using my own grandpa's slang against me.
Yeah, that's right.
You fucking cunt.
What a wake callback for you.
How dare you.
You're saying, Grandpa, can I be an astronaut when I grow up? Astronaut? Oh, look at the kid with the paper asshole.
He's sitting over there talking like the man with the paper asshole.
Yeah, and you're like, huh.
I don't understand.
Grandpa, I'm six.
Is it because the paper asshole's delicate and the feces would tear it? Or
get me a beer.
It makes a special sound like a whistle? I don't...
Heineken this time. He only drank Heineken and Beck's just like you. I have fucking Nom-style flashbacks looking at your sideboard littered with beer bottles.
Yeah, I meant to clean that up.
It's just green Vietnam for me over there.
I'm not an alcoholic. I'm just lazy.
Go down to the scary basement and get me beer and Triscuits. It's you, Rory. You're scaring
me. The basement floor is unfinished.
I just watched Labyrinth. I'm convinced there's goblins down here.
I don't want to go around the wrong corner.
All right.
Everybody had a grandfather with a creepy basement that you didn't want to go into.
Dude, they just did not maintain them shits very well. You never knew what you were walking into. My grandpa was fucking curing meat in the basement one time. I thought I walked in the middle of the Texas goddamn chainsaw massacre.
I kept it like this to keep your grandmother out.
She'll nest down here like a gopher if I give her access.
Yeah. Anyways, go on. Got sidetracked there a second.
So Reverend Michael has his sights set on a new large facility, but that's not going to happen until Reverend William figures his shit out. Actually, I am prophetic. I know it can't happen.
Uh-huh.
2 decades ago, in 1996, I had a premonition of a particular event that will happen in the present facility.
Flashback.
That has not yet happened. In that premonition...
Dementors!
I saw... And I'm going to save them. In that premonition, I saw in great detail the oddly shaped interior of the present sanctuary. I knew exactly what it looked like inside long before the property had been located or leased. 2 years later, when I first walked into the place, I couldn't believe my eyes. It was precisely what I had seen. Spirit has given me a gift to see into Agape's future, and I concur with Yogi Raj's warning. Therefore, if you care about Agape, please pray for Michael and Dolores to find the courage to admit their wrongdoing and resolve this matter before it's too late.
What the fuck did they do?
Wow.
Apparently? What did they do? I just want to know what kind of thing this... please don't be a love triangle.
The thing is, it's what you were talking about before. We're getting his version of this.
Yeah.
We're not getting the actual story.
No. Well, we haven't even heard the story yet. We've just heard him being like, I have divine foresight.
we're just glossing over the fact that he had a fucking premonition.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, maybe you were in that house doing meth. And there was a gas leak.
So I had a premonition about what my room would look like after I set it up. It's messy.
Wow, this is so
God
unexpected.
Told me my room would be messy.
But seriously, he's honestly claiming to be clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm. But not only that, he's sort of insinuating it's like divine.
And he speaks with the conviction that makes you think he 100% did have a premonition.
They told me to build an ark with spikes in the walls. And
but he does it with such conviction that I am convinced he had a premonition, just not one about this church. I think he was mentally ill from a young age, and I think he fucking had some crazy Caesar on the floor of the Senate getting stabbed vision of whatever goes on in this church because of some shit that was happening in his life. This is all speculation on my part.
Let's call him right now. Let's call him 70, right? He's like 68.
It's a robust 68.
Let's go ahead and call him 70 just to round up.
Sure. Okay, right? Boomer.
So 2020 is 70, you know, so that makes, you know, 2010, 60, and then the 2000s, 50, and then 1990, he's 40. That means he was 30 through the 80s, you know, and that means he was in his 20s in the 70s. This dude probably did some fucking drugs.
Probably.
That's what I'm saying. I think this dude's gone through some. There's a couple of different answers for why this dude talks and behaves like this. You know, he could very well be like, you know, from a rich fucking family. He squandered a bunch of fucking money and fell out and found a bunch of hippy dippy dudes and clinged on to love and spirituality. And
that's what I want to know.
Tons of different shit. I mean, dude, he grew up through, you know, the 60s.
He was a child in the 60s.
He was a child of the 60s.
Teenager in the 70s.
Yep.
And then in the 80s, he was hitting.
No, he was 20 in the 70s.
And he was like
30 in the 80s. And on from up there. So he lived through all of the best drugs.
Yeah. Just,
I just don't see how he'd probably came. I mean, who knows? We're getting a very, very tiny, tiny view of this guy. On the, let's be honest, on the back nine of his life here.
Well, and clearly, first of all, if someone's claiming to have premonitions, it casts into doubt every single thing that you read about
when
them.
When he writes it like that, how seriously can we take him?
He writes it with such conviction that, again, I believe he had some kind of fucking episode.
Maybe.
And believes that it's related to what is supposed to happen as the outcome of the Dolores saga. I think this guy might be really sick.
I think we might need to just keep going and see what else he has to say, because I really hope that somewhere in this 7-page manifesto again, that he's got something in there that tells us what the fuck actually happened. Even if it's from a warped perspective, which we can, I think, at this point agree it is, I want to be able to glean from it what we can. You know what I mean? Because we'll be able to, hopefully we'll be able to read between the lines here.
He's scaring me a little. Like, genuinely, he's scaring me a little here.
This could get pretty dark.
This could get bad. I'm not, he's,
I mean, I don't even know. When he starts to ramble like this shit, sometimes I think he's just going to go off in these weird, dumb fucking tangents and not tell you anything. And that would be more disappointing.
Yeah, if he's just like, and then the incident that I cannot refer to because spiritually it would bring bad karma onto my seventh house, which is like, fuck you.
Yep.
Fuck you.
By talking about it, I bring truth to it, and that I will not do.
Good day.
I'm a dick.
I wasted fucking an entire podcast worth of your life.
You piece of shit.
All right.
And then you guys are mad at us. Oh, no! Quit hitting us with cabbage! Because you find us and you pelt us with cabbage for some reason.
Well, as one does.
Anyways.
Chapter 2.
It's labeled Chapter 2.
Well, it's labeled 2. I'm calling it Chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
To follow our Tarantino theme.
The Widow's Lair.
Background.
All right, go on.
The incident described below. He's just going to keep saying that. The incident described below occurred at Agape on November 23rd, 2016, after the Wednesday evening service. I had some documents with me that I wanted to hand to Reverend Michael Beckwith and briefly discuss with him. With the signatures and cooperation of Michael, Cheryl, and Dolores. Cheryl, I guess, is one of the other clergy people.
Seems like Dolores has a pretty strong position in this thing, too.
As well. With the signatures of those three, the documents will get the situation resolved once and for all. What is he making them sign to resolve the incident? And what is the incident? There's like two incidents. There's whatever caused them to have a schism in their little leadership group here.
And it can be solved whatever, by a contract.
Or a... Dude, what the fuck, man?
If people are signing something, it's contractual. You know what I mean? Like, why? I wanted you to get in writing that you say, you're sorry about hurting my feelings at that cotillion. Like, what the fuck else could it be?
You're a cock tease and you led me on.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted you to go ahead and put it in writing so I know you couldn't sue me later. It's like, maybe, like, is he that fucking paranoid? Where he's like, I have written up what happened between all of us and I want us all to agree on it. So I need you guys to all sign this in front of a notary. Maybe. Or he's getting them to sign something over to him. Or agree to ownership of something.
Who fucking knows?
Because that's the only other thing. Like, what else? If you guys can think of anything else out there that he might be referring to, why don't you go ahead and send it to us at the Skimbo Lounge and you said hit slide into my DMs on Instagram.
Maybe he was just signing a birthday card. This was all a big misunderstanding. I mean,
maybe he'll explain it more, but go on.
I don't think he's capable of it. He's wasted two fucking whole pages.
Look at him skate.
Talking about nothing.
Look at
and
him
he
skate.
He expects this to get people on his side. Let me tell you something.
I mean, I
funny.
Feel bad for him, I'll tell you that.
Do you?
No.
Great.
Go on.
Excellent. Okay. So we wanted to get these documents signed. The documents will lead to cleaning the shit out from under Agape's rug.
He said, again?
He's riding this into the ground. And the financial cost to Agape will be zero. I was well prepared for his resisting my documents, but I assumed he would maintain his cool. He did not. He must be talking about suing the church.
Yeah, but for what?
Do this or I'll sue.
But for what?
I wish he would fucking say.
What kind of grounds did you have to sue a church?
Exactly. What's the nature of this weirdo church?
We don't actually have church tax-exempt status, so this whole thing's a little shaky.
Yeah, this is... 2 weeks earlier, at the service on the night after the election, I had had a conversation with Michael in which I told him, Michael, it has now been 20 years, and the matter is still not resolved. He sheepishly replied, we'll get it resolved. God damn it, he doesn't say what the matter was, and then he doesn't talk about... the big thing that went down. There's
I slipped and
things.
Chipped my tooth on a pew, and he will not pay for the dental, right? I had to get a crown.
I'm running at a tooth deficit as it is.
It was very expensive, and I've had to get work done again, and it's, again, it's the sort of thing that the church should be paying for.
He's making me mad now because he's got two different threads going where he's not talking about what the fuck happened. He's
no.
explaining one thing using another mystery.
Are you surprised?
What an asshole. What an M. Night Shyamalan-level dick.
Are you surprised, though?
No, I'm not surprised. He's just a frustrating cunt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we knew this.
Which makes me, again, think this is a put-on.
I don't...
But it's too real.
I can't wait. We'll get to the video section. We'll get there in another segment. It's at another date. But go on.
Yeah,
let's keep going. Let's go ahead and... chug through. We got a lot more crazy left.
We got a lot left. Michael, Dolores, and numerous other Agape clergy members perpetrated a long string of outrageous clergy abuses spanning two decades, including, among other things.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Misleading me into believing Agape was a friendly, nonviolent, and safe place for me to obey my spirit guidance, including expressing unconditional love to Dolores. Concealing from me the truth that spirit-guided acts of love by me would be met not with approval or even tolerance, but by malicious abuse, slander, violence, and excommunication.
So he stalked her.
So it sounds like he got kicked out of the church and kept coming to services anyway.
It sounds like what happened is he confessed his love for someone who did not reciprocate, and when they were like, okay, man, you got to stop, he was like, but my love tells me to continue, to the point where they kicked him the fuck out of the church.
To the point where they, next bullet point, had loaded guns with bullets pointed at him, falsely convicting him of a crime he never committed.
I decided to show up at 2:30 on your doorstep with roses.
Obtaining 8 restraining orders against me based on false testimony.
And chloroform.
And there it is.
Based on false testimony. Yeah, so it was one of those things where it's like, something woke me up. What time is it? Oh, it's 1:30 in the morning. What's that? Is that Reverend Mark in the bushes?
I needed to speak
next
to you.
Door? Just sitting there, no, it's not. Going back to sleep.
I'm a bird.
But I don't know. What do you think? Yeah, fault. Why don't you go ahead and explain the lies that they're telling about you? Get them all out in the open. And then explain why they're not true. Mostly because I want to hear the things you did.
So it sounds like, yeah, he was not obeying restraining orders and ended up with a gun in his face to finally get him to fuck off.
Yeah, it sounds like the kind of thing where he maybe, you know what, this is probably a stretch, but maybe there was something between this other guy and this girl.
Perhaps, but
He shows up in the middle of the night being like, but I love her. And like, dude, we're married.
Yeah, maybe.
But here are these roses. I'm going to take her from you. And he was like, dude, I'm going to put a fucking gun in your face.
Well, that begs the question for me, which is the bigger question. What kind of church people are packing heat? You know what I mean?
You never know. What
kind of nice reverend has a fucking gun?
That's a good question.
I bet there are some Midwestern pastors who are hunters who have a rifle kind of thing. But what it sounds like...
Well, it's
a
California
fucking,
too, isn't it?
It's California. What kind of fucking... like?
Well, they said 20 years ago too, but that's not far from 2016 when he's writing this.
I think this
it's
incident...
not that long ago.
Oh, God. And it's hard to keep track of his timeline.
If he's like, yeah, it was 20 years ago. It was 1984.
So, yeah, maybe this did happen in the 90s where he got the guns pointed at him. I have long forgiven all of this and other clergy abuse by agape. But forgiving and letting go is insufficient when it is still possible to resolve the matter. So I'm being the bigger person and they're not doing anything about it.
Mm.
Indeed, forgiving and prayerfully letting go of the metaphorical dog shit under agape's rug would be insufficient.
You know what it sounds like? Just to cut you off for a second. It sounds like he went to someone who's like, how do I use bad words? And they told him like three. And he's just throwing them in there. Oh, shit. Oh, dog shit. Oh, that's good. I'm going to write that one down.
Because if it came out of a person, you might forgive it. But
not if it came out of a dog.
Came out of a dog.
A napkin insults next to him and just smatters him in there.
This is great.
This is, every time I use the word poo, I'll just use the word shit instead.
I was going to use cervical booger, but I just...
It's too clever. That's too clever for him.
That's not my MO.
Go on, asshole.
Physical action must be taken to clean up the shit. Leaving the dog shit under the rug is not only disgusting, it's unsanitary, attracts pests and disease, and it radiates negativity that drags down the energy of the entire church.
Wow, interesting how he... What are the metaphorical other things that are drawn in because of that? I want to know what each one represents.
Here, the shit under agape's rug is 9 false court orders against me that are sitting in the that are sitting in the public record in the Los Angeles Superior Court right now.
Like a restraining order, perhaps?
Holy shit. Tomorrow and next week, they will keep radiating their negativity into the environment. They are injustices that are not only continuing to harm my reputation, but much worse, are very bad karma for Agape and the clergy members involved. Agape preaches justice and nonviolence at the pulpit, but these court orders are the physical crystallization of the injustice and violence practiced by Agape.
Wow.
He has 9 court orders that are a matter of public record in Los Angeles.
How do we find
how
these?
How do we obtain these?
How do we... If you guys know how we obtain public records...
Paging Mr.
Court
Boyd.
Orders in Los Angeles. I'm sure there's... I mean, how do you search counties?
Well, you find out where Agape is.
Oh, boy. Well, we might be sicking our audience on this dude right now.
Whatever.
All right, maybe it's got...
He sounds like a fucking cretin.
Well, he's got court orders against him now, so now it's a matter of public record.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you know how to find these things and you want to send them to us and sneak them into our DMs, because that's interesting right there.
I want to know more about
any
this agape church.
Out there?
I want to know more about these court orders.
I got a feeling it's just different versions of restraining orders.
More than anything, I want Dolores' side of this and Reverend Michael Beckwith.
Yeah, if you want to give us Dolores' number.
Deliver unto the Skimbo Lounge, Dolores.
It's just like an episode of Westworld. Anyways,
I am not a fan. What did I do to provoke all this rap from Agape? This wrath from Agape? Wow.
This rap?
What did I do to earn all this rap? What did I do to provoke all this? I obeyed spirit.
As specifically directed by Spirit, in each instance, I engaged in politically incorrect love speech. To wit, I sent flowers, love letters, and $100 bills to Dolores. She did not return the money. I tried to buy her love. This is why this guy loves whores. He doesn't understand the difference between a prostitute and a woman.
Can you imagine? Notice how he said money last. I feel like he sent that after everything else didn't work. And that's maybe why she got fucking weirded out, dude. The second you're like, I wrote her these really inappropriate long love letters after she rebuffed all of the other seemingly more innocent things. When you send a girl flowers and candy and shit, and she sends you that shit back and sends you home with it in your fucking hands, take the fucking message. This is not fucking goddamn Tom Sawyer time, goddammit, where she's playing coy. She doesn't want you around, you creepy bastard.
She probably felt like she could not get anywhere near him to return that money.
Have some self-fucking respect and walk away. Like, it's not, like, if you really were like, love is an important thing to me and I really want to take it seriously, then you realize that anyone who's playing it as a fucking game, you know what I mean? If you're like, oh, I'm playing coy. No, that's not how it fucking works. She told you exactly how you felt and you sent her cash.
This guy is disturbed. This is how he thinks. Like I said,
that's the tactics of a madman. That's crazy.
100%. 100%. And he used the same tactics he would use on a prostitute. I misspoke when I said a prostitute and a woman. Obviously, you can have male prostitutes, but
a pimp's love is
a pimp's love is different from a square's. I meant the difference between a woman who has sex for money and a woman that doesn't have sex for money. He does not see a distinction there. A professional or personal or spiritual distinction.
It's all a special
you
connection.
You are a hole I can pay to fucking blort into.
That's what you think?
Yep.
I can win you over by cash, and that's an okay thing.
He sees women as objects, 100%.
Well, that kind of... Remember that breakdown your friend of the pod, Annie, did, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
this just confirms it.
It kind of all falls in track, doesn't it?
What a piece of shit. However, I would never have pursued Dolores romantically except for the fact that during prayer treatments on three separate occasions...
On Glorback 9. Star Trek!
Three different Agape licensed practitioners had each told me in no uncertain terms that Dolores Aguano is the woman I am destined to marry. I was shocked on each of these occasions. This means it was Agape that pushed me into this. So the devil made me do it.
He's blaming... other people, like, he just pushed off even more responsibility. You see, other people were like, oh, you'd be so great together. Well, guess what? That's not Dolores, bitch. Crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, she never said, dude, I like you.
Yeah.
If you got people being like, oh, yeah, I totally
listen,
go.
Your friend said we should go and date. Why won't you date me? Is the creepiest fucking.
These monks that I hang out with said that you and I should get married.
Yeah.
Do you like me? Check yes or no.
I'm going to start doing that now. I'm going to start sending yes. Will you go out on a date with me? Check yes or no. I was like, no, you creepy dude. I was just slipping that note to people on the subway.
You better give it to like a big burly construction worker.
I'm so afraid of the coronavirus. And they're just like, don't touch me.
But I'm not afraid of your love.
Slip them a note. Take a picture of them. Like, what the fuck is this about? I just get punched in the nose. I'm waiting for it.
That'd be worth it. Make sure you got your camera phone running. That'd
if you're on
content.
The Instagram and you saw the picture I took with those tourists, they were looking at me after that. They noticed they were getting their picture taken.
Someone is going to notice you because you can do it a million times. It only takes one to get caught.
Yep.
I can't wait, dude.
Yeah, one of these days. Hey, don't you fucking take a picture of me.
It's going to be so worth it.
Let me turn it to video.
World star.
World star just pounding my head into a fucking train wall. Hi, Mom. Anyways.
So Agape pushed him into this.
It's all Agape's fault and those other damn people.
Furthermore, oh no.
My favorite thing is reading your face.
Oh no. Furthermore, although she vehemently denies it, Dolores has been presenting mixed signals to me for 2 decades. I have 10 witnesses who have seen these mixed signals and think that despite her words and abusive actions to the contrary, Dolores actually is secretly interested in me.
Would you say that this is going to end up getting into she was asking for it territory?
We're dangerously close.
We are skirting that line.
We are dancing on that fault line as we speak.
Because that's what that sounds like to me.
I Okay. In 2012, one savvy female witness was sitting next to me when Dolores walked up to me and launched into a tirade, angrily scolding and commanding me. I did not obey her command. So she probably said, get the fuck out, dude.
Listen to the psychology of that, though.
I
want to make sure that everyone out there knows that one time she came in and I did not back down. She was so mad at me.
Because it was a woman yelling
at me. I didn't, because I'm justified.
When Dolores walked away, the witness smiled, said to me, she's in love with you. There are lots more stories like that one. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, someone said it, so there you go, man.
What? Okay, again, he either visualized someone saying that to him, or some dumb asshole actually, that means there's more people like him tromping around. We're just not hearing their stories.
Possibly. It's definitely possible that there's people out there sitting there being like, go for it.
But if a woman comes up and launches into a tirade, which I have to assume is, you need to stop coming here. You are not welcome here. Fuck you, dude. You are creepy, and we want you away from the fucking property.
Not to knock the church at this point, because we don't know a lot about it. But we do know that he apparently held some sort of position of power, since he seems to like to call himself reverend. You know, he's calling himself reverend. So,
and I think Cheryl's a reverend, but I don't think Dolores is.
She's just first proctor to the word of Vedic.
Good try.
Something. You know, yeah.
You did your best. Car crash.
I had a stroke somewhere in there.
What all this means is...
Crystals! Sorry, go on.
I had a legitimate purpose for sending flowers, love letters, and $100 bills to Dolores.
Come on!
The documents I brought for Reverend Michael are to peacefully and lovingly rectify the many injustices. I am seeking his cooperation in signing the documents and causing Reverend Cheryl Ward and Dolores to sign them. Once signed, the documents will be filed in the Court of Appeal to get the many unjust court orders against me eliminated. This will be the good for Agape, and it will be good for Dolores. Copies of the documents may be downloaded at the following URLs.
My God. Wait. Will it link to the things that he's trying to get removed?
Let's try to find out here. The thing is, I can't say the URL because it has his full name in it. Although at this point, God damn it, I just want a link. Stop. No, you bitch. Ugh.
Oh, you're bad with computers.
Well, the new iPhone, dude.
Oh, the new iPhone. It's so hard to use.
Sucks at selecting
stuff. Having all
the
brand new technology and the best processor, it's so hard.
Shut your fucking mouth.
I can't wait to throw this thing in the trash in a year because I'm spoiled. I'm a piece of shit.
Fuck you. I make less than minimum wage. And that's a shoot, I really do. What the fuck? Nothing happened.
Sell your phone.
I tried to put it in, and it doesn't. No, it's gone.
Oh, I'm sure this is years ago, so he might stop paying for
it. Yeah, nothing but a bunch of bullshit comes up. So we don't have the documents. Okay. This is like a 7-part thing, and we're just barely hitting 3. This might be a 2-parter.
Well, we can always do this in the next segment, but why don't we keep going for a little bit longer?
Okay, let's do another one.
Let's go until we hit something really juicy to cliffhang on.
Oh my God.
Piss off the audience. We'll never come back.
Chapter 3, the incident on November 23rd, 2016.
Yeah, so here we go. Right at the end of the episode. Give us the shit!
Mind ya. This is how I recall the incident, including from my notes made shortly after. Every time I catch a beating, I go and write about it in my journal, too. Protect genitals next time.
Make sure to write the word unfair and underline it several times.
Oh my God, dude. Remember when I called this cinematic?
Mm-hmm. Is there a crawl?
I have written this in the style of a film script to distinguish the conversation from my description and comments.
My fucking God.
After service, Reverend Michael was greeting people in North Hall just outside of the bookstore.
The bookstore, you say?
At the Gemstone Ministries. If you're not watching The Righteous Gemstones, check it out.
Down at the Garden Mall's Megaplex. Route 49.
At least 30 people were there, several of whom were waiting to greet him. I was standing about 8 feet away from him, waiting my turn. To my surprise, he walked around the other people, came right up to me, and offered me a handshake. Shaking his hand, I said, Michael,
2 weeks ago, you said you would resolve the matter between us. Michael Beckwith. I'm going to do him as Worf.
It is resolved in my mind. You need to get it resolved in your mind.
Nonsense. That's total cop-out. He writes this as stage direction. Nonsense. That's a total cop-out. The shit is still sitting under Agape's rug. No. It needs to be resolved in the Superior Court. The court orders need to be eliminated. He takes out the papers and shows them to him. Michael points to a lady standing next to him, whom I did not know. Not Lee Brown? What the fuck is this?
Give them to her. She's my assistant.
I can't.
I did not give her the papers. I held on to them. You need to sign these papers.
Who's the third person? Whose voice are you doing right now?
Marky Mark. There's only two people talking. Marky Mark and Beckwith.
Okay, great. There you go.
You need to sign these papers. We need to get the false court orders eliminated.
Give them to her.
Michael looked at the papers, evidently seeing the 9 pink signature tabs with his, Cheryl's, and Dolores' names.
Is this about Dolores?
Yes. You need to get Dolores to sign these papers. He replied as I anticipated he would, and I was ready for it.
I can't make her do anything.
Yes, you can. If she refuses, then revoke her practitioner license for breaching her practitioner vows. So he's trying to extort...
Strong-arming them.
Beckwith into disbarring Dolores. He's
trying to screw over Worf
from TM.
So she's a practitioner. So she does practice some sort of spiritual yogi crystal something.
Apparently, but
how do
like,
they do this shit? I want to know what kind of church this
we
is.
We have then. To look into the Agape thing.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this is supposed to be a sympathetic document, and mm-hmm. he just said, basically, take away this woman's job or her spirituality or her
if
livelihood.
If she doesn't sign what I want her to sign.
She doesn't do what I want her to do. Exactly. This guy's a fucknut.
I think the thing that's fucked up about this is he's coming also from the position of all of the stuff against me has already passed through the courts.
Yeah.
Several of them. Many of them. And they passed. And here we are. The court found this stuff.
9 times.
Yeah. As something that they're like, okay, yep, let's put this on record.
9 times.
So, interesting move there, Reverend.
9 times.
9 times.
At this point, Beckwith started getting rattled. He has been using Dolores as a buffer to hide his own clergy abuse and evade cleaning up the shit. My statement put the power to eliminate the injustice firmly in his hands. He can make Dolores sign, thereby eliminating the injustice. She did breach her practitioner vows, which are to practice love, peace, and nonviolence. She did so by giving false testimony under oath in court to perpetrate injustice and armed violence against me. And she does not want to be disgraced by getting her license revoked. I gave the papers to Michael's assistant. Then he offered me another handshake, which I took. Agape is responsible for this injustice. You need to get this resolved. He smiled at me.
Divine justice.
More evasive nonsense. That's like pronouncing divine cleanliness while leaving the dog shit under the rug. He tried to let go of my handshake, but I didn't let go yet. I felt his power withering in his own blatant hypocrisy and fraud. No, Michael. You need to get these documents signed so we can get justice in the Superior Court. He pulled away from my handshake and started walking backwards while facing me. He was visibly shaken. Here I was standing my ground in his church.
Staring at him like a murderer.
He was retreating. Incredible. I pointed my finger toward the sanctuary. You preach justice. Then I pointed my finger at him. So you need to practice justice. His face looked distraught, frightened, and enraged. He raised his voice angrily, pointing his finger at me.
You need to practice justice.
Sir.
Sir. You practice justice. You practice justice. Jesus,
oh,
dude.
Oh, God, man.
With those words, he accused me of practicing injustice. That is a ludicrously false accusation. I am the victim of injustices. Injustice happens when a court fails to rule according to the truth, thereby injuring an innocent person. I did not cause any false court orders to be entered against Agape or Dolores or anyone else. What I did was to send Dolores flowers, love letters, and money that she kept.
He's very hung up on that last
one. He's very mad that she kept the money. Don't you understand? Just give him back the money.
I heard she has a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that's what she bought. Maybe just let me play one time. Maybe you can just send it. We can do like a thing where you mail it to me and then I mail it back to you. And
then
we
get married and we live together in divine light. It's very simple.
All of a sudden, we have an apartment together.
You know, it's just don't rule it out.
I use your save files.
Telling me to practice justice is like telling Clarence Chance or Geronimo Pratt to practice justice. Both of those black men were falsely convicted of murder and imprisoned for years before being exonerated. They were innocent victims of injustice. He's pulling the race card on a black reverend.
And he's bumping it to murder.
And he's white as fuck. What the fuck, dude? He is just a clown car of hypocrisies.
Dude, he's a nut. He's a nutbag.
He's
crazy.
He's like the woman on...
He's going to come after us and sue us.
Maybe.
He might. If he finds us.
I hope you find us.
Maybe he's just going to show up with a machete.
Limp dick piece of shit. You want to see people who aren't afraid of you? You think you can make your little Reverend Beckwith back up? Why don't you come over here and show me who your daddy is? Because I ain't that shy and I ain't that hard to find, neither.
Oh, he's calling you out.
And I sure should ain't going to pack lunch because this ain't going to take all day.
Turns out he's got a shit ton of money for litigation. I got gold bars buried out back because I thought the aliens were coming in 89.
No, he's poor. So realistically, you just hear a chainsaw starting up.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Why did I hang all these clothes outside on the hex today? I don't know. Can't say what's going on. Man, comes through. Anyone? Anyone?
Always Leatherface.
Go on.
Agape played no part. Oh, these were apparently local guys. Agape played no part in the exoneration of Clarence Chance or Geronimo Pratt, although Chance later visited Agape. Incredibly, in a class I attended last year at Agape taught by Reverend Michael and Cheryl that was facilitated by Dolores, Michael and Cheryl each vociferously praised the fact that justice was finally done for these two black men by changing the court records. So he's once again... Well, you liked it before. Now you're changing the rules.
Not to get off topic, but I wonder what these classes are like.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really intrigued what these classes are and how many people are at them.
Is this a money-making scheme that drew in a true believer who got pissed
and
decided to bring it all down?
And there's a bunch, and just doesn't understand that this is just a fucking scam. And, got too close. They're like, oh, it'll be better if we bring some nut like this up into the clergy because he adds legitimacy. And then he was like, no, you don't understand.
And we'll hide all the shit we actually care about from him and not give him a cut.
He stalked her.
That's the name of his biography. Also, he stalked her.
I cannot believe that he didn't stalk this woman too.
I think it's pretty evident he did.
Yeah. So
hard.
I want to I'm not a big organized religion kind of person. I think you get out of religion what you want to get out of it, and if it makes you a better person, then hey man, I can't knock that. I'm gonna go out on a limb though and say that this didn't make him a better person.
Something tells me no, Rory. Something tells me no.
I covered my own tracks there. Whew. Go on.
At this point, Michael was clearly overwhelmed and could not continue our conversation. He turned away from me, whereupon his brother, Achille, confronted me, angrily, commanding me. I'm just going to do Worf again.
Achilles!
Don't you ever speak to my brother like that again. Not in my presence. I ignored his command, said nothing to him, and exited through the bookstore into the South Hall. I had spoken truth to his powerful brother, and
truth
I had called
power.
His brother on his evasive, manipulative, keep-the-shit-under-the-rug responses. I was astonished not only by Reverend Michael's outrageous conduct, but also by the deep sense of peace and relief I immediately felt and continue to feel. Agape failed to intimidate me. So thank you, God. I'm extremely proud of myself for standing strong, speaking truth to power, having all the right words to call Michael on his bullshit responses, and not flinching. Praise God.
I guess the drinking game for this episode is any time the word shit is said.
Or he has delusions of grandeur.
You're dead.
You're done.
Yeah. You know what? Let's throw in the word agape as well.
You're toast.
Yeah, you're dead.
As in burnt braid.
Especially because it's only in the second half of the episode.
This is almost over. It seemed a lot longer than it was. There's one tiny little piece left.
All right. You know what? Well, our beginning was pretty light, so I think we are getting on, but yeah.
This will put the button on it. This will pump it out.
Okay.
Chapter 4, the final chapter. The death of Reverend Nirvana Gale. The main culprit in all of this clergy abuse was former Agape minister Reverend Nirvana Gale. I shall not detail here his many outrageous abuses, except to say that it was primarily Nirvana who pushed Dolores to pursue civil and then criminal legal actions against me. Oh. So this is the person that intervened on Dolores' behalf and went, get a fucking restraining order.
Yeah, who was like, we got to put an end to this, and this is that guy. This is the guy who died.
Had Nirvana not been involved, it seems unlikely to me that any of the injustices would have ever happened. Reverend Michael did a poor job of supervising Nirvana and ended up inheriting the massive problem he instigated. Over the past 20 years, I offered Nirvana numerous opportunities to rectify this situation, including in 1998, 1999, 2001, 2002, 2005, and most recently on February 22nd this year, 2016, when he started chemotherapy.
And he was like, hey man, even though I'm dying, I still do not want to reconcile with you.
I'm going to deprive you of exactly what you're fucking asking for.
And look at what this dude turned it into. Look at what he turned it into.
What a dumb piece of shit. What a dumb piece of shit.
Boy, I am just, I don't know if you guys were pro Reverend Martin before, but now I hope you're finally on the other side.
In each instance, Nirvana declined to make things right. He left the shit under Agape's rug. It appears that the wheels of karma finally caught up to him. He died in August 2016 at the young age of 65. Nirvana's early death serves as an additional warning to Agape. And that is the final line. He basically says, this dude fucked with me, and then he died. Let this be a lesson to all of you.
What a piece of shit, dude.
He's trash.
Like, when you go ahead and start being like, listen, this guy, you know, was like eventually the person who like told this girl to stand up for herself and like helped her get the restraining order against me, and so God smoted you with cancer, is a real fucking, think about like the level of, what is that? What do you even call that? That's insanity. It's just plain.
It's insanity.
It's just straight up insanity.
It's delusion. He's deeply unhinged.
Some serious delusions of grandeur.
And here's the thing. After reading that and knowing we have all this other stuff to pull from, we have his old website. We have his excerpts from his book on prostitution. We have all this other stuff.
Well, it's funny because I always think we're going to sit there and be like, we'll make it a little segment. You know?
Yeah.
And you know what the funny thing is? I got to call you out. I watched Love is Blind for Jeff. I watched that, and you didn't.
My understanding was that we were going to watch it together before recording this.
Bullshit.
But I also went to Farmer's Market with some friends.
Yeah, you sure did.
I took my plums to market.
And so I was like, oh, well, so we didn't get around to it, so I'll watch Love is Blind, and I watched that nonsense. And I got to tell you, spoiler for next episode when we review it, I didn't like it.
Roy wasn't a fan.
So, yeah. But back to point at hand.
I just think this is the worst thing. This is the worst thread we're going to pull out of him. This was truly the biggest window into his soul. He preaches like light and love and all this stuff on his dating website.
Well, it's so funny. You can see the difference between that and this in terms of how he tries to mask that part of himself while still betraying it. Like, you know what I mean? Like when he gives his fucking signs and we gave it to your friend who wrote it all down for us, and we're like, wow, that's, you know, and then
she made a pretty stunningly accurate portrait.
And when you read something like that, you're sitting there going, wow, it just keeps, it keeps building a picture of a pretty messed up dude, really, when it comes down to it.
And the thing is, the rabbit hole I want to go down next time is this Agape Church and trying to find these court records against him.
Well, that'd be nice if we can find those court records. I don't know how we even... I don't know where to start or where to begin.
I don't know where to start or where to begin.
But other than that, you know, I think we can find out about the church pretty easily, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Google's your friend on that.
Hooray, Google search.
But I prefer Bing. And I think, we just have to figure out how we can get a hold of those court records. Do we have to be in Los Angeles to do it? Or is it digitized?
I'm sure everything's digitized, but I mean, who knows? Who knows how you get access to something like that?
I'm really interested in
we got his name, so
yeah, we have that, everyone's name.
That
dude.
Kind of opens up some avenues for us.
This is
we're gonna end up with
spiraling
someone
out of control.
We're gonna end up with someone following us.
Dude, I really sincerely want to talk to these other people. I want to talk to Michael Beckwith, and I want to talk to Dolores Aguano.
We might have to censor their names.
I don't know. Do we have to?
Well, here's the thing. At this point, if we don't censor their names, then people will get Reverend Mark's full name.
It's possible.
Anyone who wants to search it will find him at that point. I mean, the fact that we even do Agape Church... is probably enough.
Well, I mean, there's only so many. I mean,
it was going to be like Agape Church and the story of blaggity bluegity bluegity blue.
The San Francisco Herald.
Yep. Someone else has picked up this story. Like, oh, we're 2 years late, it turns out.
Well, my friend that originally gave me the dating website that started this all, she was saying that we should do a documentary about it.
Well, oh, God, that'd be fantastic.
And I was going to
find them. There's enough.
What I said to her was, I don't know that. I know what my question would be, what my thesis would be that you're trying, because with a documentary,
you have to have
some kind of point of view and some kind of question you're trying to answer.
Right? It's the danger of the human mind.
Well, at this point,
how can religion enable dangerous people? Maybe.
The thing is, I don't even want to commit to anything in one sitting. Cause for me, the most fascinating part of it all is how this guy puts on this face of light and love and believes all these insane things, and at first seems harmless and then seems like a crackpot and then seems like a dangerous crackpot. I want to know. I want to know the story. I want to know how he became like this. I want to know what he did.
Well, I'd like to get a little bit more insight onto the younger version of him and like what did this dude do before he was joined in the church? Maybe this dude, you know... He was like, I saw parts of Vietnam as an 18-year-old. I don't know.
I saw lights in the sky over Da Nang.
Yeah, maybe, you know, what did he do for money, you know? What kind of life did this dude lead to end up with him in his 60s being like, they crossed me, and so Jesus smote them. And, you know, not Jesus, I mean God specifically, actually.
Yeah, because there's only one God. There's only one God.
And he
remember.
Is cool with me following... the Vedic astrology,
because it's part of him,
and Republican and Donald Trump,
yes,
as well.
He has blessed Donald Trump. What about that? Don't you get, Rory? You stupid piece of shit.
You're right. It's all so clear.
What about Reverend William doesn't make any sense to you, Rory? You tell
it's
me.
It's like when you have a puzzle and it's a 500 piece puzzle. And you don't really know what it looks like until you put all the crazy pieces together and you go, it looks great if you use a hammer. You smash it where you want.
Also, my dog ate some of these pieces. Oh, man. I don't know, man. This is we have plenty of directions we can go. We can keep digging into Agape, and I would like to. And we still have his YouTube stuff, which, by the way...
Is it vast?
It's vast and it's long. His videos are all like over an hour.
Well, we might have to find a really particularly good one and pick it apart a little bit.
We might just have to watch them on our own time and go, dude, this is the one. Watermark, 51 minutes.
I'm going to watch these at work in my downtime, and one day someone's going to show up from HR like, hey, Rory, so we've been checking your browser history.
First of all, we respect your beliefs, whatever those are.
Can you introduce us to the Reverend?
Are you seeing the Reverend right now?
We've been watching them, too. Oh.
Just
yeah, you sure did. You
kicked
just
my rig out.
Shit.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's okay.
I guess we better just end the episode.
It's probably about
no
that time
anyways.
Myself. Yeah.
That was great. That was smooth. This is so disorienting.
Yeah, well, you suck, so.
Fuck. I really do.
You can't even... Yeah, that must fuck you up. It sounds normal to me, but I'm looking
I'm
at you
taking,
panicking.
I'm just taking the cans off. It's weird.
Oh, you sound so quiet.
I
what?
Feel so disconnected
you say?
From you.
Oh, you're too loud. All right, well, anything else you... Hey, anything you want to plug?
Oh, Rory, you beat me to it, you little scallywag.
Piece of shit.
I do have something I want to plug. If you're in the New York area, why don't you come on down to my new restaurant that I'm opening. It's called Basket of Wings, and it's got the hottest and the spiciest wings. and it's you're going to love it. I make my own donkey sauce.
Well, you heard it here.
Come on down to Basket of Wings.
Come on down
See,
to Basket
you.
Of Wings.
You could always do that.
You're right, I could, but I don't want to.
Because you're trash.
You're right.
Just like Reverend William.
Ouch. No, I'm not now.
Sorry, that was harsh.
That hurts.
All right, well, for another week, this has been...
I gotta go cry now.
Very tragic Skimbo Lounge.
Oh,
we say thank you, fuck you, and bang.